bat down the hatches, tick down the sails. The storm is coming. The storm of This Week in Mormons. Coming to capsize your life. Like pie with a tiger in a boat in the Pacific Ocean. Yeah.
That was beautiful, Jeff.
Thank you, Kurt.
I always look forward to how is he going to start this one?
I've gotten in my old age half the time now, I just say, hi, it's us. Or like on last week's show, I tried to be very sincere. Did you listen to last week's episode?
I'm offended you would even ask me such a question.
I pulled like a straight up This American Life the way I introed that thing. Oh, yeah? That was amazing. I'm a regular Ira Glass. You never listened to it, did you?
I listen to This American Life.
All right. Do you hate America? I'm confused. You're wearing a BYU hat. That's as good as saying.
And NPR sort of, you know. I'm in a very red state, Jeff. Okay?
Okay, first of all, everyone, this is Kurt Frankum, everyone, of Leading Saints. He's a great guy. Normally a nice person with sensible views. But before we get into that, what's the beef with NPR? I have a hard... NPR is the PBS of radio. Enlighten me about this one. I get it.
This is where we're starting. Okay. All right.
Perhaps what they choose to cover might be what people aren't interested in. But their coverage is extremely thorough and fair. They make a point of that.
Okay.
You are not watching the echo chamber on cable news when you listen to NPR, everybody.
Kindly disagree.
The bias
is subtle but ever present.
Tell me about all these things. Tell me more. Because you never listened to it, so clearly you know all about it. Tell me these things, Kurt.
Okay, not that I never listen to it.
You are like an investigator that says, the Book of Mormon is false. And I say, have you ever read it, sir?
Jeff, let me ask you a question. Do I have to eat the whole cake and listen to every episode to know if that bias exists? No, I don't. I just need to buy it here or there and be like, yep, still a little bit too much
every
salt.
Every episode
in that cake.
Of what? It's National Public Radio, not National Public Singular Podcast. Which shows are you referring to?
I used to listen to Radiolab, and not that the bias got me there, but
that's a podcast. And Radiolab's not like NPR. NPR, I mean, it's fine.
Oh, but it's behind the scenes is the wheels of NPR, right? I mean,
Radiolab is fine, but I mean, I just mean like if you're
but This American Life, right? I mean, that's full fledged NPR.
I think it's not. I don't know if it's actually owned by NPR.
Or a subsidiary
NPR,
of...
You're talking about all the weekend stuff. I'm just mostly referring to everyday NPR. You're talking about All Things Considered in the afternoon, Morning Edition in the morning, you know, the newsreel. Diane Rehm's not really around as much anymore. I don't think 1A is nationally broadcast, but it's a great show. You know, just the typical NPR shows. Just happy little people saying, hey, we're... Kurt.
I'm just saying. Okay, I have no idea what I'm talking about, but...
I'm not being fair to you. See, I'm not being fair and balanced right
but
now.
But I'm just saying, as far as This American Life, it's like, and I know like one of the producers, isn't one of the producers an ex-Latter-day Saint?
So yeah, This American, I think we were talking
That's
about
where
slightly
we started.
Different things. We were talking about slightly different things, I think.
Okay,
so This American Life absolutely has its own.
So you're saying I should not group that into the NPR bunch?
When I was saying NPR, I was not thinking that. I was thinking more specifically about the day-to-day programming of NPR.
Okay.
The weekend stuff, they'll play This American Life, but they'll also play Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which, while it makes fun of it, it might have a little bit of a liberal bent. It's hilarious. It's a funny show that mocks everybody.
We were obviously speaking past each other, Jeff.
We were speaking past each other.
I embrace you from across the country in apology. So.
The producer you're referring to is one Elna Baker, who was a Latter-day Saint and no longer is. She did produce, though, for example, you might remember a month or so ago, there was a very insightful podcast about bishops' interviews, and that's been a hot topic.
Yes. That's a good example of one I would listen to because it was a tough one to listen to, for sure.
And it was interesting.
For various reasons.
So what I want you to do, let's find out who's the NPR affiliate in Salt Lake City. For all you Moes up there. You go, KUER.
Yeah,
yep,
KUER.
That's the one.
My voice has been on KUER. So.
Oh, my goodness. So what you do is you tune in there tomorrow morning, you listen to some Morning Edition, and you get back to me.
Okay. I have my homework assignment,
And I will
Jeff.
gladly I will listen to anything you want me to listen to as long as it's not Sean Hannity. Okay.
Okay. Hey, brother, brother Beck, you know, fellow, he's a bishopric member like you, Jeff.
Do you blaze? Do you blaze it up?
Of course I blaze, Jeff.
I never knew. I never knew.
I mean, not that I'm a subscriber or anything, but I do listen. Okay.
And you learn good. I'm not knocking you. I'm just asking if you blaze.
Yeah. Not that I'm a subscriber, but on my podcast feed, you may find some blaze affiliated, podcasts.
That's fair. That's fair. So
can I still get into the temple?
Now, when people donate to Leading Saints, which is a nonprofit, those funds are going to finance the blaze? What you're telling me?
No. None of those funds. Why would I use... Again, I don't subscribe. It's just a free podcast feed. Okay.
Kurt, I like it when I have you on because usually I'm the straight man. You're the straight man and I get to be the foil. It's a lot more fun for me than when I do things with Al and then we flip it around.
All right, I'm putting on my Al hat. All right, I'm going to say all sorts of things that I don't have to apologize for.
Just say stuff like, Jeff, you're a moron. And
that's ridiculous, Jeff.
Yeah, there you go.
Ridiculous.
Anyway, well, that was a fun digression.
So, Jeff, how are you doing? Tell us, how did your holiday go? The audience is dying to hear your Christmas.
Well, the holiday was great.
With the kids.
Obviously, we had New Year's Eve, wherein I completed my donation to public radio for the year for my tax purposes, of course. My hefty
just
PR
missed
donation.
That.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Christmas was great. You know, it's been nice. My sister came into town. She's wonderful. Love to see her. My boys love her to death. So we have a great time. We did a lot of stuff. We bounced around a lot of Virginia this time around. We've got some family in other parts of Virginia. We went to Richmond on Saturday for funsies. And as people do, you know, as one does when one is in D.C., one drives to Richmond for fun. And everything was good. You know, did some stuff in D.C., bounced around the area in general. It was a very nice, enjoyable Christmas overall. I have zero complaints. Got to see some other family in other areas, spend time here. Rained a lot. I even went bowling. Took my kid, my three-year-old, bowling for the first time.
What'd you score, Jeff?
It was a lower game for me. I think I finished out at like 130 or something. Oh. It wasn't great.
Hey, yeah, my goal is always break 100. You know, just got to break 100.
And that was adorable. When my three-year-old got a spare, which was assisted by me, but he got a spare, and he jumped up and down and said, "I won." And he was so happy about it.
Nice.
That was great. Nice. So it was a nice, enjoyable holiday. And I am sad that I have to go back to the office once
more. Tomorrow.
I'm kind of dreading it. I've enjoyed not going to an office. It's been very good for me. How was your holiday though, friend?
It was very good. We went up to the old Blackfoot, Idaho, at least right before Christmas, and drove home on Christmas Eve. And that's where my in-laws are from, is Blackfoot, right? On the potato farm.
You know, my brother lived there briefly last year. He had a house in Blackfoot.
Really? I bet. I'm sure he drove past
many. They probably have like a lot of wards in Blackfoot. I mean, it's eastern Idaho, but...
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're spread out with farmland, but...
Sure.
But yeah.
Anyway, continue.
And yeah, then we came home, spent... did the old Christmas thing, and you know, I've got a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, so it's like everything's magic, and I just perpetually feel like I'm lying to my children, but hey, they're enjoying it. And
lying to them about Mr. Claus, or what are you talking
about? Yeah, just, and then we do the elf on the shelf thing, and okay. It's one of those, like, the reality that when the elf on the shelf showed up again this year, like my daughter literally was brought to tears of happiness, and she said that these are happy tears, Dad. And that's when I looked at my wife and I said, "We are in too deep. Like I do not know how I untangle these lies that I've created, and still have her trust me at some point." So I don't know when or how I'm going to cross that bridge, but I'm just gonna roll with it for a few more years.
Well, I hear when they're 7, it's like marginal. A great man said that last week, that it's like marginal to believe at that point when you're 7.
So maybe next year we'll cross that bridge, but I don't know. Maybe. We're definitely in way too deep though. Way too deep.
It's been funny for me. I don't know if you get this out there with any of your friends or ward members. I had never been made aware of people being so anti-Santa. I'm sure this is out. Even I'm sure this is inside and outside of the church, but. I became more aware of it as we ran up to our ward Christmas party and everything along those lines. And there was a large contingent that was like, "We don't want to have Santa there. We don't just teach our kids that Santa doesn't exist. Some are even militant with like having their kids tell other kids that Santa's not real.
Right. It's a whole thing. It's ridiculous. And I made the mistake. If any bishop is listening, my first year as bishop, I made the mistake of not having a Santa at the ward party, and I paid for that mistake. For the following 4 years, I always had Santa, who was on the high council, that would always come and
you got to have it. We didn't have Santa, but in my point of view, is just like, okay, if Santa comes, it's great for the kids who believe in Santa, and if you don't, then okay.
Yeah.
Just don't go get a picture with them. Who cares? Right. Let everyone else have their fun. What does it matter?
The feedback I received on that year that I did not do Santa was, okay, listen, Bishop, because of your choice, I now have to go stand in an hour plus long line in the mall and pay a ridiculous fee for a photo for my kid to see Santa, when I could have just come to the ward Christmas breakfast and it would have been done.
Oh, breakfast is the worst one. The breakfast slot is the worst. Nobody should be saddled with that.
Well, that's
Better not to have a party.
It's trending that way, at least in Utah. So,
no, I mean, we've had a breakfast slot before too. It's just sad. Our ward aimed for deliberately wanted it to be a much more just spiritual, like Christ focused event. So no Santa for sure. And they had a number of musical numbers, but no holiday classics. Sorry, I got a little bit of a. I feel
cleared out, Jeff.
But no holiday class, none of that stuff. Everything just like if you're doing a musical number, it's basically something from the hymn book. It is a religious hymn book song, nothing like that. Variations on that. It wasn't just people kind of singing like downer carols or anything like that. But it had a purpose, and it was fine. But you know, I don't know. I think you can have like fun and have a silly Christmas party. You can do the wacky things. You can have people singing Deck the Halls and doing the 12 Days of Christmas and having fun with the audience and making people laugh and just have a straight up enjoyable time. And I don't think it's hard to pivot into a more spiritual element at some point as well. I think you can this is a have your cake and eat it too situation is what I'm trying to say. Perhaps I'm wrong, but I believe Santa and Jesus can coexist happily.
Right? I agree, Jeff.
Thank you very much. So
where are we going from here?
Where am I going from here?
You know, you should know. Have you ever been to Alaska, Jeff?
I have not been to Alaska. I almost had to go there for work a couple months ago, and I didn't.
This Friday, I am going to a place that Jeff Openshaw has not been. Alaska.
That list is extensive. Most of Utah, Oregon. Oregon. Yeah, I've never been to Oregon.
Well, I'm headed. Anyway, I'm headed to Alaska. I've been. I'm actually have been invited up there. A bishop in the area is actually flying me up there to help out with some leadership training.
Oh, this is like the unofficial CES circuit. Look at you.
Yeah, I've somehow caught on to that train, and then I'm actually going to Mesa the following week. So just I'm bragging a little bit, Jeff.
You can humble brag this one all you want. That's very cool. Now, has this been part of your Leading Saints? Has this been part of your plan all along that you wanted to become kind of a
definitely not the plan, but I organically
helper a workshop.
Organically, it's come to the surface, and I think, you really want me to go there? Okay, sure, I'll come. So I can help out.
And I don't want to be shallow about it, but like you said, the bishop there is flying you up. That wouldn't be the kind of thing you'd be looking to, you know, benefit from financially. You're not Tony Robbins-ing this thing, right?
No.
but obviously going to Alaska would be a burden. So I don't know if is the expectation. If you want me there, get me a ticket and let me crash at your house, like that kind of a thing. And then
exactly. Yeah. And this is a thing that, you know, fireside. There's a fireside circuit that, you know, Al Fox and some of these youth speakers are flown out places and present. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'm not using any Leading Saints funds to, you know, for the plane ticket or anything like that. So
you could. That's good. The board would have a day.
Well, I would maybe bring it up if those funds were actually available, but they're
well. I've heard Alaska's lovely in January. Which part of the state will you be going to?
Wasilla, just north of
Anchorage.
Oh, cool.
Good time. Say hi to your girl Sarah.
Oh yeah, she from Wasilla, huh?
How do you not know this? You clearly drink from her fountain. What? I see her biography on the shelf behind. Oh, this is disappointing. Oh, that's David.
Yeah, this is. This guy here. Anyways, Jeff, should we get to some news?
That's great, though. You get to go to Alaska, man. Yeah, I've never been. I was going to have to go to Fairbanks, of all places, so that would have been exciting.
You're going to see me with pictures on a dog sled. That's happening.
The days will be short, my friend.
Yes.
But it'll the spirit be will be felt. The love will be real. That's kind of cool. You get to. So are you going to do like a special session with the ward council? What do you actually be doing there?
Here in Utah, there's been several leaders have reached out, and I've gone and done what I call workshop firesides, where it's not just me coming and standing at the lectern and spouting off my opinion and perspectives or about said subjects of leadership, but I try and make it a workshop, right? So no ward council member wants to go to another meeting, so I try and make it a meeting that they can come to, and together we can work through, you know, creating a vision for your quorum, best practices with ministering interviews, that sort of thing. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't have any money to fly you out to my ward, but I would dig it. I think we could do good stuff.
Do you have an extra couch I could sleep on, maybe?
You might see right behind me, sir, there's a bed right behind me right there.
I'll take it.
That bed is yours if you ever come out here.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Let's get it on the calendar.
My goal is to somehow get my bishopric on a sauna, but I'm still trying to figure out exactly how I'd pitch it, like what we'd do or wouldn't do with it. I need to go and watch the old Asana training you did a couple years ago once again.
See what they think, but it's life-changing for a bishopric.
It's extremely useful because we waste so much email. It's silly. Yep. Anywho, folks, lots of things going on in the world of Latter-day Saints, nay, Mormons. Plenty to talk about. Kurt has been very excited to be here this week.
Yes.
And I think, obviously, the article or the story I will lead off with, very important. A Utah man pranked his parents by giving them a portrait of Obi-Wan Kenobi that looks like Jesus.
And this was great, Jeff. I mean, what a fantastic! And you look at the
you wanted me to do like our top story tonight. No, this is like Countdown with Keith Olbermann, another person with whom you're probably intimately familiar.
Oh yeah, can't get enough of Keith Olbermann.
We start with the least important stories and work our way up to the top. Okay, no, all right. Anyway, so this is straight up a portrait. This appears to be Obi-Wan circa Revenge of the Sith. I want to say he seems to have that look.
Yeah, right? I definitely say it's that film.
Anyway, there's not much more to this other than he gave this to his parents as a video. He's pulled the video since.
But and suddenly it went, you know, quote unquote viral, and he had to fess up to his dad at least. I don't think his mom has figured this out. But
These were Latter-day Saints, by the way. I mean, obviously you could do this to any Christian, but this involved.
Could you punk your parents, or maybe this individual, could you give arrange certain Hollywood figures and say, hey, this is the first presidency? You think you could go that far?
That'd be tough.
Who would you pick?
That'd be tough.
Who would it be?
Really, I could be cynical right now and say, just take the picture of like the top three leaders of any Fortune 500 company, and they're bound to be older white men. And so anybody's going to be fooled by this one, right? The only one who will give it away is Facebook, because that old Sheryl Sandberg, everyone's going to be like, who's she? Is she the young women's general president? No. Not her. She's not. I love this. I want to put Obi-Wan on my wall and see who wants to get on board with this.
It's good. It's a good solid prank, though. I mean, if that's your thing. I hate pranks. I don't think they pass as sincere comedy, but I guess it's
people's. Whoa, hold on. They don't pass as sincere comedy. I mean, that's an interesting qualifier.
But pranks are ridiculous. If you've ever been pranked, like you're the only one not laughing, you're like, oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm glad you benefited from, you got a level of humor from me looking like an idiot.
But it's fun to prank people. Like one time, there's been times in my life when I've gone into somebody's phone and then changed a contact for one person to somebody else. Or like change my phone number to be like some and text them and be like, I know what you did. They're like, what? It's so fun to mess with people. Who doesn't love to mess with people? I love messing with people.
You were that companion, Jeff, on the mission. You were that one.
A little bit. When I one time hugged my trainee and I gave him a little extra squeeze and said, never let go. And he was this nice kid from he's from like rural Utah. and he shoved me against the wall and got so mad at me like he was going to punch me.
I'm sure he listens weekly, Jeff.
No, he has no idea. It was not the reaction I expected. I was accustomed to just giving an old jokey embrace and just moving on with my day. Oh, that was a good area, Tarragona. 6 months of bliss. That was a good time. Anyway, I can't believe you don't love pranks are so fun. Isn't there a BYU TV show about pranks? Doesn't that exist? Isn't that what Random Acts is about? Random pranks to prank.
Well, yeah, people? But they're like on the positive side, right? Like, oh, you paid for my groceries. Like, I'm crying now. That's beautiful. We all love each other.
That's not a prank. That's called doing a good turn.
Right.
Isn't that's ministering? Basically, it's just called ministering the show.
That's God's way, and the opposite is Satan's way, which are pranks. Don't do pranks. Say no to pranks.
Well, no one's going to top that. Okay, your turn.
And I'm sure this Alaska trip is going to turn into a huge prank. I'll probably get up there and be like, is anybody going to pick me up at the airport? Hello? Hello? Anyways.
Don't worry. Ted Stevens International is a delightful place to get lost. You're going to be fine. It's going to be great.
Nice.
Okay, well, I'm leaving the next one to you because I don't
want to. You want me to? I want to talk.
I feel like I pranked you by making that the first story. So please, Kurt.
Temple ordinance change rumors.
And they're just that, rumors, everybody. But yes.
There's rumors. So where did these rumors start? It came out. We have the Leading Saints Helpers group, which all listening should go join this group. And please don't troll us and prank us there.
I'm going to say all listening, don't join the group because Kurt officially doesn't know what to do with the volume. So don't make it more complicated for him.
It's turned into an animal, but it's all right. It's a fun animal. But somebody on there mentioned that, a mother-in-law that was a temple worker?
And to be clear, though, the Leading Saints group is not the first place I'd even seen this in the past
Jeff,
day.
That is where news breaks is the...
Yeah, I know this
Saints
too.
Helpers group.
As we all compete over who gets to like break it first.
So where did it break first? Or who?
I wouldn't say you party to, but I passively follow some less true believing Mormon groups, shall we say, because it's good to see some other perspectives. So I saw some of it there with a bit more of a snarky attitude, but. What I did see in the Leading Saints group was, like you said, that basically it's coming out that something's a brewing at the temple. Aren't all temple workers like having a special session tomorrow or something like that?
Would not know.
According to what this says. Right?
Intrigued of maybe doing... the link. It says, I learned today that one of the changes coming to the church has to do with the temple endowment, likely shortening it.
They've shortened it before. It's not the first time. I mean,
yeah, I think back in Brigham Young's time, if I know my history correctly, I think it was like 8 or 9 hours long.
It was very long originally. So they've cut out parts.
They've come a long way.
They've changed a lot over the years, and of course, you know, the film, the movie, which came out in the '50s, because of the Bern, Switzerland temple. That was the reason the first movie was created. That changed a lot of it, but even then, parts of it have changed since then. I think they last shortened it back in like 1990. Significantly, anyway. But even though they've changed it, I mean, in the past, we don't have to go into detail, of course. But
right.
But even stuff like standing up and sitting down is not as common as it once was. I remember when they changed that like 10 odd years ago, right? Stuff changes. Yeah. So maybe, but this might be, obviously, it's the rumor mill. Some say it might be just some minor tweaks that'll shorten it here or there.
So, Jeff, if they called you and said, like, just something that's very pragmatic about the temple, and obviously not getting into anything sacred, obviously, but what would you change, or would you adjust? I'm just fine. I'm satisfied with my temple going experience.
For adjust the entire temple or the endowment?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you can start with the endowment, but
start here. Then tell me what else you'd fix. No, I'm good with most of it. Though, of course, I did notice it when the newer movies came out, and they are longer. And if you remember, they're about 15 minutes longer. So it's not insignificant. And the reason they did that was the original movies were back when different. There was a different base of membership in the church, and they made the movie because the new ones still have the same script. You know, I think
right.
As a side note, I think it must be fun to be a director of temple films because no matter what, you're working with the same dialogue, but you clearly get to kind of put your spin on everything else around it, like the pacing, the inflection, the way stuff is shot. It can bring different meaning to different sequences, but. Even if, let's face it, the script, the straight-up dialogue itself, in some parts, I still scratch my head and don't quite follow like where they're going. Like it doesn't make sense narrative-wise. But anyway, so I'd fix that. For one, there we go. I'd make some of the intel make more sense narratively. But I would potentially look for ways, if it's going to shorten, that could be a good thing. I noticed it at first when it got longer because of the new videos. And sorry, and I got off my original point. They became longer because they asked the actors to basically speak more slowly because as we translate the endowment into more languages, they found that a number of native African languages especially use more longer terminology to explain things, and the pacing of the previous films didn't allow them to get through it. So I've heard to accommodate more foreign language translations, the English language one kind of feels in parts like it has almost pregnant pauses and just a slightly slower pace. It's specifically so you can dub it and fit other languages into it. And that's why it's longer now. But I don't know what they would shorten at this point. I have no idea. I mean, I feel like it's pretty cut and dry as far as what you go through in there. I don't know what would get... I have no idea what you would do.
Interesting.
The rest of it I'm good with, you know. I'm good with the temple. I'm cool with it. Everything's fine.
I am too, Jeff. Let it be on the record. Let the record show that we're good with the temple.
I really love initiatories, though. They're one of my favorite things to do there.
And that's changed quite a bit since we first went through.
Yeah, big time.
It's,
big
it's great.
Time. So things changed. So I'm very curious. And of course, it's the Mormon rumor mill. You know, it could be, for all we know.
The rumor mill is the worst. And I think it's social media has ruined everything. And this applies to some other stories that we'll cover. But it's just like we cannot... Yeah. We can't just let things unfold, and I don't know. It's speculation everywhere. It's tough.
Here's a good quote though comment from somebody where it says, "My daughter just went through last week, and her stake president told her she could either wait for the changes coming in January or appreciate the contrast."
I'm guessing stake presidents didn't get any heads up about this.
I don't know. Stake presidents got a lot of heads up about the new mission types that came out.
This
that were
true.
Supposed to come out of our conference. They knew about that well in advance.
That's true.
So I don't know. They might know. But who's to say? Well, the only thing I've heard, and rumors, of course, is that it's going to be more gender inclusive.
Okay.
So, and I've... and we're speaking respectfully about the temple, but there in some circles, many argue that it makes women deferential to men overall in the grand sequence of things. So maybe that's going to be addressed. Or maybe we're going to finally learn that the church is going to build that temple boat they wanted to build way back in the day. That could be a lot more fun.
That would be fantastic. I'm making this prediction now that soon, in within the next 50 years, the temple will be a virtual reality experience that happens in every local chapel. Sorry,
that would be fun. One thing I would love to see, and this builds on something I actually posted in the Leading Saints group, whether we could ever get our recommends on our phone.
Yeah, it seems like a logical thing.
I easily see limitations, but I also see solutions to those limitations. Because right now, if I lose my paper, it's not attached to there's no two-factor authentication, right? If somebody jacked my temple recommends, some ne'er-do-well, and wanted to go in the temple and cause trouble or whatever, that people have filmed ceremonies, whatever it might be, presumably they could do it because all it does is pop up and say that make sure that my recommend is legit, right? That part is digital ever since they added barcodes. I see no reason why they couldn't instead issue a barcode via your LDS Tools app that is tied to you and only you. And you have to do a thing that says you have to agree if you want. It doesn't make it standardized, but if you want to do your recommend this way, you have to agree to submit a headshot of yourself that meets certain criteria. Because you don't have to put photos on LDS Tools or your account. Right. You're not obligated to. We don't want to obligate people to do that who don't want to, but I think it's a fair compromise to say, cool, you can have your recommend on your phone. But you got to give a photo because then I would have no issue from a privacy standpoint of having them scan my phone, say the recommend is valid, and see my face pop up just like it would on any other kind of ID to verify that I am the one who should have that.
Yeah, when I go to the gym, they see a picture of me pop up.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with that. I think it'd be kind of cool. Yeah. Yeah, one person on that thread, though, what'd they say? They said there was one temple was weird. You had to show your recommend twice, like depending on different, like the temple was actually split around where you had to go. So you had to recommend up a couple of times.
Yeah, which is strange. And you could easily just, print something out as they came in or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's workarounds.
I would love everyone else's feedback on that. I think temple, I know there is an old LDS tech thread about this very thing. I would love to see that, man. Imagine just literally.
But nonetheless, the temple is changing somehow, and we must figure it out.
Well, by the time this publishes, we'll probably know.
Yeah. Do you remember when the new movies came out, and it was just like, I remember just showing up to the temple and being like, whoa, this is a third movie. Like,
we'd heard about them. I mean, my in-laws are temple workers. They gave me a little bit of a heads up. Well, I think when they said there was going to be a third one, we were like, are you kidding me? They're making three? And then, there it was. Which is good. I like two and three better than the first one, but I think I like two the most.
Oh, two's the best. Yeah.
With the guy from Gentry?
Gentry. Yeah. Gentry. Yeah, I mean, there's some emotion in there that has been lacking in other versions.
I like number two the best, but it's been a while. DC Temple is closed. It is hard to get up to Philadelphia, so I don't think I'm quite as on the ball with this as you are. And as luck would have it, I renewed my temple recommend on Sunday, and then the stake presidency member called me back, and I'm a little worried. Like he calls me on the phone a couple hours later. Like, I was like, what are you going to do? Tell me if you've had second thoughts. But he told me like my numbers wouldn't work. So I have to actually like go back to my bishopric and have him like give me a new recommend and go back to him and have him like do it all. Basically, I'm a man without a country right now. It's a little bit scary.
Hopefully nobody gets married in the temple in the next week that you have to
Twim Nation,
talk
take
your way
it easy.
Out of.
I know you invite me to your weddings, but I can't come out.
Gonna have to sit this one out.
So. I was curious, we'll do this, why not? Kurt, I think you can provide some enlightening thoughts on this one. So, okay. If we go back a little bit, we could do year in review of 2018 if we wanted to, right? Lots of crazy things happened. But one of the biggest ones from a zeitgeist standpoint has been back in August when the Mormon newsroom, when there was a first presidency release and the newsroom also put out some guidelines for the newsroom, which I want to remind everybody, for the newsroom, for journalists, about the term Mormon, right? We saw this kind of start brewing in August, but it was mostly about the proper name of the church and how to reference it, some extra guidelines for how to refer to members of the church, the typical stuff we've seen over the years, but it was a new change. And then in conference, President Nelson spoke at length about, more concretely, the name of the church. But in his remarks, and also in some subsequent remarks, I think when he was doing a regional conference in Toronto or something like that, he did talk a bit more about the Mormon church, which is always wrong. We would never say that. But, saying Mormons, Mormonism. He hinted a bit more at essentially saying that if we work to remove that from our lexicon, others will follow suit, right? That's the most gist I got. I still have yet to see a very clear decree that says, stop calling yourselves Mormons, right? But I have seen counsel to sort of lead the way in, it's not a rebrand, but lead the way in rebranding yourself so others will come to understand it as well. And I think that's okay. So we've seen that happen. Now, immediately after conference, it was almost like a contest to see which groups or institutions, whatever they may be, could be the quickest to de-Mormon themselves, so to speak. And I've thought about how to approach this. I think you did too. You were not Mormon, but you were LDS, which is, I think,
leading LDS,
the slightly less bad one in this discussion. And I mention this because while it's been a number of months, this is still something we've been thinking about at This Week in Mormons. We haven't pulled the trigger on anything yet, though, and frankly, it takes time and there's resources involved, and there's a lot to do if you're dealing with a full rebrand, even just from a technical standpoint. There's a lot of work to do. But it's something it's been on my mind and I want to address. But in that interim, we receive emails on Facebook and elsewhere asking us to simply, when are you going to change your name? Why haven't you changed your name yet? And these are from people who clearly aren't like diehard followers of what we do here, because if they were, they'd hear us talk about stuff like this frequently and they'd know. But I get a lot of this, and I even finally engaged with one of them this week. Because it was just there was no commentary, just a screenshot, ironically, from LDS Living, which has not renamed itself, I might add, with some of the quotes from President Nelson that's only about the name of the church, with no reference to don't call the people or the culture Mormons or Mormonism. And I was like, okay, like, what's your deal here? It leaned into, I guess, what you would call the equivalent of Bible bashing, but from a protecting your brand standpoint. And I know I have skin in this game, so I've got a clear point of view. But Kurt, you changed. Okay, you changed leading LDS to leading saints. You've done that already. I haven't done it yet. So what's it been like on your end? Did you ever get flack? Did you have people asking you in the run-up to you doing it? Did you experience any of this? Because I worry that from a cultural place, we're slowly getting to a point where there's a large subset of the Latter-day Saint community that is starting to look down upon those who have not yet de-Mormoned anything, as if they are a lesser tier organization or not faithful enough or whatever it might be, right? Thoughts?
So for me, it was I was sort of looking for an opportunity to change the name, just because I was getting too many questions or confusion about me being affiliated directly with the church through leading LDS. And so I welcomed the opportunity to change it to Leading Saints, but you know, I didn't change like the week of, like some blogs and Facebook groups, mainly because as a nonprofit, you just can't willy-nilly change your name. You know, it has to get board approval and things. And then I have to change it with the state and, you know, the registration there. So, I didn't get much, pushback, but yeah, I mean, to me, it's like our culture loves a good checkbox, you know, and the prophet's given us a good a checkbox here. When are you going to check it? You know, we checked ours. How about you? You know, and it's one of those things that I wish, you know, yeah, definitely people need to relax more. But it's interesting, especially now that some time has passed, how this looks going forward, even after, you know, it would, you know, even after President Nelson passes on, heaven forbid.
No, don't forbid because, it. It does have to happen someday.
Right, it's not immediately. It's, and it's a beautiful thing. But,
it's okay.
But for example, the two examples. One, the home teaching. They introduced home teaching in 1963 as a program to get away from the once a month in-home visits and to have a more authentic ministering relationship with those you serve. But what happened is, you know, years later, we're changing the program for the same reason, to ministering, to have a more sincere ministering interaction and getting away from once a month program. In 1980, when they went to the block, you know, the 3-hour block, they did so to bring more focus to in-home worship and spending more time with family. And then years later, here we are changing for the same reason. So it makes me wonder, is our culture, I mean, are the weeds in our culture, are they, can we get to a point where we can actually move past this? Or, I mean, is it even possible, right? So to me, I look at your situation as like, yeah, you know, whenever you're ready, change it or don't change it, whatever. And I've talked to several entities, many of them with a business behind it, that they have no intention of removing the LDS or Mormon, you know, and so be it. It's not that they don't love the prophet or they don't want to. It just is what it is, right?
But we're almost made to believe that they don't love the prophet. And then the thing that I bet they'll have thrown at them now is saying, if you're a business, because I get it from a business standpoint, you know, there's the church standpoint, it's fine, but the business standpoint's murky too. But then you got Deseret Book ceasing to carry stuff with the name Mormon in it as well. And that almost like leads the way from the for-profit realm of saying, well, you can't do it here either. Come on, everybody. Yeah. But it's true. Like, you're not more or less righteous if you're LDS or Mormon or Latter-day Saint or Saints, whatever you're doing. Like, just if you're, it's about what you're actually doing that matters the most.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This has just been on my mind a lot lately. And part of it's been because I've been stupid of thought, I think, about what to do as far as if at all to rename TWIM into anything. It's been on my mind a lot, but I can't get there. Like, I just can't get, I've got nothing still. And
there's so many other people that are sort of there, and I find myself there sometimes. Like, I'm trying to remove it from my lexicon, but man, it's just like, sometimes it's just, you're having a simple, brief conversation with somebody, and you just, you know, sometimes it's easier to say LDS or
it is. Right? And moving over to that, I Like, I'll still tell people, like, they'll ask me, like, I don't know, like, I was at work once, and I started, there's a woman there from Peru, and I started speaking Spanish to her. We were watching, like, it was a Rick Steves show, like, on PBS, like, on the just in the break room, right? He's a travel guy, and he's in Spain, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's where I started my mission. Great, good times. And so I just spoke to her in Spanish, and I'm like, yeah, I learned it there. I lived in Spain for a couple of years, and it's so much easier to drop, yeah, because I'm Mormon. I went on a mission, right? I didn't want to just say, like, oh, yeah. Soy de la Iglesia de Jesucristo de los Santos de los Últimos Días. Soy un santo de los últimos días. Right? You're not going to say that. I want to say that. I guess we're getting there. But man, we get so quick to just, like you said, checking the check boxes. And if we haven't like moved everything over immediately thereafter, and President Nelson never gave a time frame for this. He simply said, this is prophetic counsel. We don't want to offend the Lord about the church's name, which I'm all on board with. Like, let's do better.
This other portion I get a lot of times, people say like, oh, you changed your name from Leading LDS to Leading Saints. And then they look at me and say like, well, yeah, but you're not, that's still taking Christ out of the name. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I'm not trying to put Christ in my name or out of my name. They feel like everything, like you can't say Latter-day Saints even. It has to mention Jesus Christ. And that's not what President Nelson was saying.
No, at all. And I've seen that too. I've seen that exact same thing. And I'm like, no, that's basically what because his talk, you know, he said, don't say you're Mormon. Say, actually, I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, wherein we believe I'm part of the restored gospel. I'm like, you know, the mouthful, the anti elevator pitch, as it were.
Right.
Anywho.
And I wish we could just go to, like, instead of using Mormon, just say saints. Like, I'm a saint, right? But I guess that's a broader defined word.
And that's
right?
What I worry about too. Like, is that specific enough? I don't know if we have it in us to totally reappropriate what people think when they hear the word saint and to think of Latter-day Saints.
Right.
They're going to think of either a football team in New Orleans. They're going to think of Catholicism steeped. Like, we don't own the term saints on its own, even if we want
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
We don't. We do own Mormon, though. We've got that one down.
Then we got Jews. We have Muslims. We, you know.
Yes, there are many
faiths.
We
have atheists. We've got, but we're Latter-day Saints.
The irony, of course, in all of this, and it's all fine because we follow the living prophet, and that's good. Yeah. But there are quotes from Joseph Smith talking about, like, you know, Mormonism is the one true religion. You know, we have stuff in our history where the term Mormonism is thrown around in a very positive light and something to be admired. But that's also back then, and this is now, and that's okay. Speaking of a very progressive, liberal things that I care about, obviously, such as not listening to the prophet and not changing my name, sister missionaries... once again, can wear pants to church, everyone. Not to try. Actually, sorry, no, they can't wear pants to church. I misspoke. That's like the one place where they can't do it. Anyway, a couple weeks ago, the church announced that sister missionaries can wear pants. Now, this did actually start 2 years ago. Basically, in areas with any kind of mosquito-borne illnesses, the sisters were given the option to wear pants, primarily for their health and safety, you know. But now it's broadened out to all 407 missions, and that sister missionaries have the choice, either because of vector-borne diseases, but also because of just, you know, weather or riding a bike, things that are just, it's cold, right? You want to be warmer. Pants are warmer than a dress. That's great. They have an option to wear pants now if they want. They still can't wear them to church, the temple, or baptismal services. Fine, whatever. But it's another big change. People did treat this like it was, I don't know. I saw just so much like, hoorah, this is it.
Right. Again, this is another example of the social media ruins everything. It's like, again, this sure, it's cool and it's a great announcement. But man, sometimes these news items drop and it's like the epic news item of the year. But it's like, you know, we just suggested policies. Like there was a meeting downtown and someone said, we should do this. And that committee said, yeah, we should. And all right, let's do it. But it's epic news. Anyways, so social media is awful. That's my point.
It's the worst. Now, because I know that you sometimes don't love Peggy Fletcher Stack, be honest, Kurt, I know you don't.
I think I love Peggy Fletcher Stack, and there's definitely a place for her voice in the discussion.
That's nice to say. I think you'll just be happy that she said something incorrect, because she did say that sister missionaries are allowed to wear pants at all times. She is false. McKay Coppins would never do this.
Salt Lake Tribune. Ugh.
Right? That crazy anti-rag. Anyway, it's good news. Though ironically, I have sisters in my ward and a church, and I've yet to see them wear pants. Or I've yet to see any sisters actually in pants since 2016. I don't live in a Zika area, but I've never seen it happen. Maybe everyone's afraid. Yep. I don't know.
It is what it is.
That's a good expression. A cliche, but a good one.
I've used it several times during this episode.
Yeah, well, you know, I do that to people. It's fair. Take me somewhere, Kurt. Nice. Take me somewhere.
We are going to, we're now in the era of two-hour church, Jeff.
I've heard about this.
It's happening. Obviously, there were several news articles of people interviewing members saying, all right, we're here. What do you think? And everybody says, we're excited. And so we're here, Jeff. I don't know what else to say about this that's not been said.
How's the prep been in your ward? Have you been involved in much of it? Or are you just kind of rolling with the tide?
Just rolling with the tide. Obviously, one impact, which isn't necessarily the two-hour church, but, well, I guess it is tied in, that there are less and less callings in wards these days, and I currently do not have a calling, which I'm fine with, but I also don't expect, there's not going to be that teaching calling is maybe not coming my way, or these presidencies, ward missions aren't as their separate body as much anymore, so... I think that's the most intriguing part of this is that how do members find their place and purpose because speaking from a perspective of being in a bishopric, it's like that's one of your major goals is how can we, the three things that President Hinckley says, one of those being a responsibility in the ward and you're constantly obsessing over how do we get everybody a calling to some degree and without making it feel like just a made up calling, right? But now I just think there's going to be several individuals that are rolling with no calling.
Yeah. Especially, I imagine that's amplified a little bit somewhere like Utah, where you have much bigger wards. And I'm in places where you've got people with, two callings at times just because of need. But
yeah, it'd be interesting maybe it is more of an issue in Utah than elsewhere.
Well, probably. I mean, it's understandable.
And this is where we were talking about, like, with my family over the holidays, like, what's another shoe to drop? We talked about the young men and young women, age advancement stuff. But I really, if I was king for a day, I think there would be a lot of benefit, especially in Utah, to make wards a lot smaller and give more opportunity for people to serve as a bishop or in these things where – the average, bishop may have 12 regular appointments that they're constantly seeing these 12 people. Well, if you cut that ward in half or by a third, then, there's only four or five that they're maybe worrying about. And, I think I would love to see the church head in that direction.
I would like it too. I mean, I've basically been in wards for a while now that are roughly, 140, 150 active on a Sunday, mm-hmm. right? And I kind of like that balance. You got enough people where it feels like you're getting stuff done and you have strength in numbers, but it's not overwhelming like when you go to and there's 400 people in a room and you're never going to know anybody, right? And you're just anonymous. So I could go for that. Now, of course, this is back to the Mormon rumor mill. I have seen some argue or some sources say that another reason for two-hour block, in shortening the time that wards are at the meeting houses, you could fit more wards in. Therefore, in places like Utah, you could split the wards and create them without having to build more meeting houses because the church doesn't want to allocate more resources to meeting house funds, which is a huge expenditure. And that way, you could stuff more in basically with what we already have.
Yeah, exactly.
Which maybe this is a first step to that.
And I guess that was my experience that I was in a ward called as bishop at 28, but it wasn't because I was this phenomenal 28-year-old that just rose above the ranks, but really the list was short and I was on the list and it was an inner city ward and, they asked me to serve. And so I think it would give more people opportunity that maybe aren't the typical option to serve as a bishop or Relief Society president to step up. And now my life is forever blessed, the fact that I got that opportunity so young in my life. So
yeah, exactly. So good things all around, man. I don't know. In our end, prep-wise, I mean, I've been in a lot of bishopric and ward council meetings. It's been mostly just sorting out the logistics of everything. That's been the hardest thing. Our building shape is that, I assume you have this in Utah, the oval-shaped stake center. Okay?
Yes.
But oval all the way around, right? No break.
Yes, yes.
In the whole thing. Not a U. A full oval all the way around with the stake offices kind of behind where the choir seats would be, like on that back hallway over there. And then you've got the bigger rooms in the corners, like primary in the one big corner room, Relief Society in one, and the other corner room. would go over to priesthood. Do you know what I'm talking about? That kind of layout?
Yeah, yeah, I think I've seen
that. Those are pretty common. So ours is like that. And the big issue has been just how to make this work, like how to make this work with primary, where because of the way the block is organized now, they don't know if they can split them up into junior and senior primary time-wise, and they've talked about this. But then if they fit all a primary in there, it's like 80 kids, and they're saying, which room do we put them in? There's been a lot of that. But beyond that, it's just been prepping. I mean, it's fine. I guess I'm going to miss – I don't think I'm going to care that I don't have Elders Quorum every Sunday. I'll probably miss having Gospel Doctrine every Sunday because that's just the class I enjoy more, I think. But beyond that, we're just going to – just going to hum along, you know, and
it's going to be awesome.
I'm legitimately upset though that I'm missing out on an extra hour of free babysitting. Bless the people who provide that babysitting. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But I will miss that because now they're asking me to like spend more time with my children, but spend that time teaching them in the ways of the gospel for an extra hour on Sundays. That's the idea anyway. They want me to like step up as a parent, which I'm not into. I like passive do it for me church. It's so much easier. I mean, come on, Kurt.
Passive do it for you. Now it's proactive in your house.
Now it's do it yourself or you won't be saved. That's what it is right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Check the box, Jeff. Or you got two boxes. You got to check that name change and 1 hour at home.
Okay. I don't know. It'll be fun. The funny thing though is we have state conference this Sunday. So the whole church is going to be kicking this off. And we're like, nope, we're just. But I heard someone slipped. They said it's only going to be an hour long. Was this in the fine print anywhere that state conferences are supposed to be shorter, the general session?
Wow, that would be news to me. I do not think, and that would be very hard to pull off.
I agree, but it kind of slipped out there, and I didn't have time to double back. I'm like, wait, what?
Well, let us know, Jeff. I'll go to a temple session to report on changes, and you go to state conference and report on changes.
Okay, that sounds great. We'll reconvene next. Oh, no, I think the sisters are going to be here next week, but we'll file a special report. It'll be good.
That's right. That's
anywho, folks, another thing, of course, coming up, Come Follow Me is starting up with this new curriculum program. And I believe the first lesson is pretty much the how the mechanics of this work lesson, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. It's basically why we're doing this and how to do it. So,
Well, and there's some scriptures in there, right?
I mean, they tend to do that.
New Testament scriptures.
I mean, I know that now we're slowly leaning for some reason towards everything being based on conference talks, but I believe we are still revering the old quad every now and then.
Imagine that.
Actually getting into it. So, I am excited for this. It's a good challenge, the Come Follow Me. I think it's a very good challenge because if you follow it, it's straightforward enough and it has enough breathing room that it lets you kind of figure it out either as parents, if you're doing the one for families, or as teachers for Sunday school and things. I think I'm excited for it. It's going to be good. You have to do it. If you don't do it, you're going to get hosed and get like nothing out of your family, but it's going to be great. One that I love that you put here, Kurt, in our closing moments. Is President Nelson the oldest person on Instagram?
That's
KUTV
right.
In Salt Lake City is arguing that he very well might be the oldest user on Instagram.
With President Nelson, couldn't you say like he's the oldest of like, I mean, any like leading an organization this large of the oldest that's leading a religion? I mean, how old is the Pope? He's in his late 70s, early 80s, maybe?
I would assume late 70s, but I will. He was born in 1936. He's 82 years old.
Nice. So, I mean, this is like, it's cute what they're doing here in this article, but because he just, obviously Stan Lee has passed on and he was an active Instagram user, but.
He had 8 million though.
Yeah, we have a ways to go. I think we're over 200,000 with President Nelson. So everybody go
only
to your Instagram app
189. Now, here's the thing. I think, okay, you should follow President Nelson. Sure, it's great. At the same time, what if none of us followed him because he and the rest of the brethren refused to follow anybody but each other? They're all following 15 people, so the other 14 plus like the Mormon newsroom or something like that. Or actually, I think they just follow the LDS.org official Instagram feed. And that is it. They refuse to follow anyone else. They refuse to engage.
Like a list of their granddaughters, right? Like...
Okay, well, they don't want to do that because then people would find out who their family members are.
So I know,
right?
For
privacy reasons, I get that. You think
which then goes back to they're really not using this. It's just the PR department.
No.
Yes, I'm sorry. It's
Kurt.
Sorry. Don't let this hurt your faith. That is actually what's happening.
But I like. So. But you think? I mean, Instagram maybe. But come on, I feel like when President Uchtdorf or Elder Uchtdorf, sorry, is posting things on Facebook, I feel like that's really him shooting off some posts on Facebook.
Well,
but maybe he gets maybe. It. But maybe he gets it more. I mean, I think it might depend on the individual.
Maybe
I could see.
But he's definitely the on Reddit somewhere that's typing up.
I could see. You know. He's doing an AMA.
In a intense debate with some.
No, I want the Dieter Uchtdorf AMA. That needs to happen.
that would get some traffic.
That would get trolled sure. really hard if that got out there. Oh, man. It'd be terrible.
Jeez. That's why they don't do it. Right. So. All right. And then I got to just say that we need to, you got to check out this video of emotional art unties families who lost Latter-day Saint. Emotional art unites families who lost Latter-day Saint missionaries. And this is, you've probably heard of this artist before, who's painting oil paintings of every missionary who's passed away while serving. But man, Jeff will link to this article, and you got to watch the video to see how it impacts these parents who, man, have given such sacrifice in ways I can't imagine. So it'll make your eyes sweat for sure.
It's really good. And the one thing I was asking you about is if it's like, I mean, is it, is it a complete list? I mean, I know the missionaries die around the world. And is this only North Americans, Americans?
Well,
the church doesn't publish about every missionary to whom something bad happens.
No, so. There's definitely some diverse culture in these paintings. So
I'm curious about that. I mean, I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, when a missionary was murdered in Mexico, and like they arrested his companion or something, but it was all, the church never covered anything about it. Like you'd heard nothing about it. Huh. And the only thing you could find was just Mexican press basically talking about it. So that's why I'm not trying to be morbid here. You're on the better end of this. I was just kind of curious where he's getting his information.
I think it's awesome. There's guys out there like this that are dedicating, you know, their life to doing something so wonderful for these families.
It's like the whole share goodness thing. It's great.
Share goodness.
And I'm not going to lie, I love Light the World, but I was kind of Light the Worlded out there by the end. I don't know if
were
it's
you?
A little bit, even though it wasn't daily this year, it was a weekly thing. I don't know if it's because of the groups I'm in on Facebook, you know, and a lot of you and I are members of a lot of like, you know, internal groups like podcaster groups and helper groups and influencer groups and things like that. And so maybe it's just because I saw so much content go up on that front. But
yes,
I was kind of.
You're an influencer, Jeff. Yeah, so you are,
sure. You, I can get two people to buy.
More involved.
Stuff. Yeah, buy the stick that Kurt sells or his calendar, everybody. I influence
That's
you.
That's right.
You have been influenced. Go buy it.
That's right.
Can you buy it on Amazon? Can I put up an affiliate link so I reap the rewards?
No.
Dang it.
No. I take all profits and, well, you know, the non-profit.
You're a non-profit, Kurt.
Hey, nonprofits still earn profit, okay? People always ask me that. So you're a nonprofit, so how do you make money? Like what? Like you don't understand this, I don't think. So
you don't really get finance, do you? Anyway, by quick note, so it's a new year. It's 2019 now when you're listening to this. But if you'd like to do a quick year in review as it pertains to Latter-day Saints, our old pal Jeff Borders put something up on our website, so we'll link to that with the show notes.
Jeff Borders is the best.
He is. Well, I'm not going to go that far and make a definitive statement about being the best, but
well,
he's perhaps
I will.
He's one of the best.
Okay. All
right. He's among the best.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
good work.
A good rundown of everything that happened pretty much chronologically throughout 2018. It's a nice reminder of all that we did. So I'd recommend you check that out. Nice to have. It was a busy year as far as stuff we did as Latter-day Saints. And that is where I'm going to end things this week. Everybody, I hope you will also, of course, please visit Kurt Frankum and co. at leadingsaints.org. Follow them on their Facebook page. Join that helper group if you want to rouse the rabble a little bit. Anywhere else you tweet, you Insta, you do all that.
I tweet.
Things.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know. Probably the best, the most value you'll get is on the newsletter. So you definitely want to go to leadingsaints.org and join the newsletter. But, any way that you want to consume content.
I love Kurt's newsletter, but I think you use the I digress segue like all the time. Cracks me up.
Well, yeah, I have my, yeah, it's at the first of all my emails.
It's part of your shtick. I love it. Everything else thing says this and this is happening.
Part of the shtick.
I digress.
Because I usually have a promotional
I know.
The top of it.
Where you can get the word calendar, which is a nice word calendar that Kurt's put together for you there. useful things right. along those lines. Kurt, you're doing...
Thanks for having me on.
Kurt, you are doing the good work, my friend. And I've been really happy to see your success. I think especially in the past 18 months, things have really like picked up for you. And that's been...
It's been fun.
Been good to see. Leading Saints is doing terrific stuff, everybody. Listen to the podcast. You can learn a lot. I mean, you had... what's her face? Biggish name. Former general.
Julie somebody. Beck.
You had Julie Beck on like a month ago.
Yeah.
That was insightful. It was fun. It was fascinating.
Yeah, so, it was a good interview.
This is the big time.
Start there.
Yeah, we're a step away from you getting C. Scott Groh, perhaps. Someone along those lines.
Would that be a political interview?
At this point, I guess it would be. And I'm assuming running in Idaho, he won his seat, but who knows? He finally got released, though, at General Conference. They managed to get in there right before the election. Good job, church. All right. So join Kurt Frankham, everybody. He's doing terrific things. Sign up for his newsletter. That'd be great. On our end, of course, hey, sign up for our newsletter, which is more like a quarterly marketing email to encourage you to listen to a podcast because I'm super diligent about it. But either way, join our mailing list, and we will not sell your information to anyone. And follow us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And, of course, go to thisweekinmormons.com. And subscribe to this podcast if this is your first time listening. Likewise, subscribe to Kurt's and whatever your pod-catching utility is, you'll be blessed for doing so. So anyway, sorry, a lot of pitching there at the end. I think we're good, though. Hope you've had a great week, everybody. And of course, send us an email. contact@thisweekinmormons.com. Kurt, do you have an email, a general email? Do you do anything? Do you care about that?
leadingsaints.org/contact.
There you go. He actually has a page for that sort of thing. He's got it all figured out, everybody. All the answers. All right. Well, for Kurt, I'm Jeff. This has been This Week in Mormons, and I encourage you to be well, be holy, and be feliz. Would you butcher my love to understand it? To know where it lies, cut a hole in my heart, fill a hole in yours. I'm yours to dissect, not as ever.